What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 304, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that of course gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing. If you're watching the video, you can see that it is just me. Ryan apparently is having either internet or computer issues. So hopefully he will be joining us here shortly. It is kind of weird doing the podcast here by myself to start out, but we're going to get through a bunch of stuff. We have launches, we have new products, we have some really big news as far as Intel goes as well. Not as much on the product side, but on kind of what, you know, what they're going to be doing here in the United States, which is really cool as well. So if you do want to follow along, we have our full show notes page that is listed in the description of this video. You know, it has everything that we're going to be talking about this week. So, you know, you can follow along, you can click through with us, you can get, of course, get more information on everything that we are going to be talking about. So let's go ahead and start things off with reviews. Today was the official review launch. The card actually goes on sale tomorrow. But today was the review launch for NVIDIA's RTX 3050. And this is their lower segment card, basically meant to be a 1080p card. But the cool thing about this one is that, you know, when we got down into this performance segment last generation, if you remember, the RTX series only went down to hey, old man, good to see you in the chat. We don't have Ryan here, so I'll be talking to you guys as well. So as I was saying about the 3050, is that last generation, the 20 series, it went down to the 2060, and then we got the GTX 1600 series, which was like the 1650, 1660, 1660 Super, and the 1660 Ti, I believe. And oh, looks like Ryan has popped in. Let's see if he if everything is working here.
Ryan, what's on the phone? Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, you don't sound great, but
I don't sound great, right?
Yeah, but it sounds like it you're using your phone, I assume.
Yeah, I don't think I have any earbuds or anything down here that are going to connect up to this thing that are convenient. But I'm working on getting the PC going as well, so we'll get there.
Okay. Well, yeah, we'll keep you muted. We'll see you working, trying to get your PC all up and running. But yeah, we're talking about the RTX 3050, of course, which did launch today. And yeah, so last generation, we went down to the 16 series. NVIDIA basically cut their lines in half. So again, for RTX, it went down to the 2060, and then you had and then for GTX, you had the 1600 series, and basically the 1600 series didn't have any of the real-time ray tracing or anything to do with like the Tensor Core. So no DLSS, no NVIDIA Broadcast, no NVIDIA Reflex, all these things they've been working on for the past few years, you're really not going to, you know, get with the GTX series. But now this generation, RTX 30 series, the 3050 does support all of these features, which basically means that you're getting kind of like a value add with the RTX 3050. It's going to be a 1080p card, but at the same time, you're going to be able to do a lot more with it. You're going to be able to push games a lot further with DLSS, which we will get into. So the card specifically that we took a look at was MSI's RTX 3050 Gaming X 8G. That sits currently, which it should be for pretty much the remainder of time, as their flagship RTX 3050. It is their Gaming X. If you're familiar with Gaming X, you kind of know what the card is going to look like. The typical Gaming X kind of design from MSI. I've been a fan of this design for years. It looks really good. You have two cooling fans. These are their Torx 4.0 fans. And if you look closely on the fans themselves, you can see that the blades are actually connected together. So like every two blades are connected together. And basically what that does is that provides better airflow down into the cooling solution. And this cooling solution, especially on this card, works absolutely great. It's really, really good. As you can see with the shroud, just the kind of just like the basic black shroud, we do have a full cover aluminum backplate, MSI Dragon logo, which Ryan does not like. He's not a fan of the MSI Dragon logo. And GeForce RTX on the back there. But it is good to see, again, a card in this price range and in this kind of performance level with the full cover aluminum backplate. So you get that there as well. Not much else. There is an MSI logo on the side. This does light up with RGB lighting. Single 8-pin power connection, which is pretty standard on the card itself. Now, like I said, in terms of performance, this is basically going to be your 1080p card. In most new titles, if you crank up the settings, you're going to get right around, 60 to 90 FPS, depending on the game, obviously. In esports titles, you'll get a little bit better. But again, it's a 1080p card. It's not going to, at least in our testing, it didn't outperform a 2060 either from the previous generation. So it's definitely something to think about when it comes to this card. The thing that, like I said, that I really like about this card is you're getting the full feature set from NVIDIA. So you are getting RTX features. You're getting ray tracing, which not going to make the biggest difference when it comes to this card, because again, you're not going to want to put on ray tracing and kill, your performance. But the good thing you're going to get is the Tensor cores. So DLSS is kind of the big thing. And we'll actually go to, in the review, we'll go to kind of what DLS can kind of do, kind of give you an idea of what it can do. So 3D Mark has its own
DLS. When you have a second.
Oh, Brian is back. Oh, I see him down there. Let's take his phone off. Are you good? Are you back? Is Ryan back?
I think I'm back.
Yeah, and you're not lagging. I think we're good. So yeah. Well, it's good to see you here. We'll bring Ryan back up here. See if everybody can see him. Say hi to everybody since you're
I know we got folks in the chat. I've been missing out already.
Yeah, old man says it reminds him of another podcast which he watches. One of the guys is always having trouble with his PC or internet. Ryan typically, whether it's the podcast or the game stream after, Ryan always has some type of issue. I don't know. It's like,
I do not.
You would think that, you never change the settings and everything's all good, and then it just, Ryan just has issues. I don't know. But no, your video looks clear, your audio sounds good, so everything is good. Right. But yeah, so if we look at the DLSS specific performance here, like I said, 3D Mark has their DLSS test, and you run it and it runs like a scene through with no DLSS, and you can see, I know it's hard to see in the video, guys, but it scored 27.14 FPS with no DLSS. But then you turn DLSS on, and it goes all the way up to 60, almost like 60.29, or basically 60 frames a second. That's a massive jump, going from basically 27 frames a second to 60 frames a second, which is really awesome. Now, this is just, like I said, a synthetic test. But if we go to games specifically, I mean, Wolfenstein Youngblood, just running the game out of the box, we get 49 FPS here. And then with DLSS on, it bumps it all the way up to 74 FPS. So just, DLSS is such a great thing for this performance level, because it can take somebody from playing games at 1080p to playing games at 1440p at over 60 FPS. It's just, it really is, it's an awesome technology. It's something that I think the lower end gamers, kind of what this card is targeted at, is they're really going to take advantage of that. And then you can even see too, so again, when we run the game, it gets 49 FPS in our test, and then we turn RTX on and it drops down to 30. That's real-time ray tracing, ray trace reflections. The game's gonna look beautiful, but it drops us down to 30 FPS. But if we turn RTX on and DLSS on, it actually brings us up to 52 frames a second. So you can kind of play around depending on your game. If you really want those awesome ray trace reflections, you can also turn DLSS on at the same time and get back a little bit of that performance hit that you would take from turning RTX on. So that's what I think this card really is. it's more like it's again, we said this about the AMD, the 6500 XT, which was really gimped, I would say, that we have another card at around $200. That's a 1080p card for how many years in a row, right? But the thing that's different about this card specifically is that you get the extra feature set. So you can do so much more. And even from last generation, from like the 20 series, NVIDIA has increased what you get with that feature set. Like, you know, we have a full NVIDIA broadcast suite, which takes those Tensor cores and allows you to do, NVIDIA broadcast has the voice built into it. So, you know, you could do AI noise cancellation using those Tensor cores in your GPU. You can do the background blur or whatever you want to do on your webcam if you're doing a game stream or just a live stream or even a Zoom call. You can do all that kind of stuff. You have NVIDIA Reflex as well. I mean, they're continuing to add on to what the RT and Tensor cores can do. So I think it just gives you a value add that you would get over, say, like an AMD card, at least currently. I know AMD does have some stuff, but it's not up to snuff, I would say, compared to what NVIDIA is doing. Also, NVIDIA has worked, especially since, you know, first generation RTX, they've worked with a ton of game developers to get real-time ray tracing as well as DLSS in games. So you have a lot of games that will support these technologies as well. So I think at the end of the day, if you're on the 16, you know, the GTX 16 series, it's as far as pure performance, it's not so much of an upgrade. Now, if you're always playing a game that supports DLSS, hey, I mean, you're going to get that in this generation, so it might be worth upgrading. If you're on an older card, I think it just comes down to, again, the games that will support these technologies. So, yeah.
I don't know. I wish I played more games to, like, take advantage of all these features, right, to get more performance out of your card, but I don't have the time anymore right now, at least to play them. So I can't take advantage of these features.
It is, like I said,
I had flipped on DLSS for Fortnite when I played every now and then, and it makes a noticeable difference. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And like, again, if you're like an esports player, like NVIDIA Reflex and some of the other stuff that you can do. I guess I think, you know, we were we talked about this, you know, when like the 20 series launched in RTX, and they're like, nobody really cares about ray trace reflection, especially serious gamers who only care about pure FPS. They're not going to turn on ray tracing. And then, you know, we got to the performance level where when you did turn on ray tracing, it wasn't a performance hit. But now you're not only getting ray tracing with an RTX card, you're getting DLSS and, again, all the other stuff that you can do. And again, NVIDIA continues to add on to what that value add is. So I think that's kind of what this card is. Now, the interesting thing I do have to say, which is very uncommon, is that we did not get pricing on the MSI card. Now, the MSRP for a 3050 is $249. Now, this is, and I didn't mention that this MSI card is overclocked. So it's running the stock 3050 will run at with a GPU boost of 1777 megahertz. And this one is overclocked to 1845 megahertz. So slight overclock, nothing crazy, but it does ship with an overclock. Also, you have the custom cooling solution and everything like that. Now, we have seen MSI as well as other manufacturers get kind of crazy when it comes to their cards. As far as pricing goes, you know, I believe the 3060, we saw the MSI card be like $200, almost $300 over what
pricing.
Yeah, over what it was. So, I don't know what the pricing on this card is. It's very weird for MSI the day before we launched this review to not tell us the price, because I assume this card is going into the channel tomorrow. So I assume they have pricing. I don't know if they didn't want to tell us the pricing because it is kind of crazy. I'm not sure, but it is a little weird. I would say if these sell... And again, when you get into this price range, this is all about value for the consumer. So this is somebody who wants to spend $250 at max 300 on a graphics card. And if we're going to see aftermarket cards like the MSI card go for 100, 150 over MSRP, it's not worth it for the consumer because it puts them in the next level. It puts it in a 3060 level as far as getting like a reference card or, you know, a Founders Edition card. So yeah, but I like this card. I think it's a much better value than the 6500 XT. We didn't test that card. We don't have one of those, but I mean, that card was basically a disaster from when it came out. So yeah, I like this card. I like the MSI card. It just all comes down to price. And we didn't even talk about it. And this is kind of the theme lately, is obviously not only MSRP pricing, but if this card sells out, if scalpers are buying it, and if they're going to charge crazy prices on eBay and other places. So we don't know. Obviously, that's tomorrow when the card comes out. I would say wake up if you want to pick up one of these cards. Wake up early, have Newegg and Amazon and wherever else. I think EVGA will be selling them directly as well. So get those pages ready if you want to pick one of these up. But it's a great 1080p card if that's kind of what you're looking for in that price range. Hopefully the prices stay around that 250 mark, 250, 300 mark for the card.
Yeah.
So yeah, check out the review if you're interested in that. I also finally got our Alder Lake system set up, you know, to do Alder Lake motherboard reviews. 12, I went out and I bought a, which was kind of hard to find.
Yeah, it took you a little while to find one.
Yeah, I went out and bought a Intel Core i9-12900K to do all the testing. So everything that we just got recently. So the first motherboard that I'm taking a look at is the Asus ROG Maximus Z690 Hero. Maximus is their flagship line. So there's, I think, 4 boards in the Maximus line. You have the Hero, you have the Extreme, the Apex, and I'm probably missing. There's one other one in there, I think. But in any case, this is kind of your introduction, or this is the lowest priced Maximus board that you're going to get. And when it comes to Alder Lake, one of the biggest things you need is good power delivery. You have 20+1 power phase design on this board. And it has everything that you're going to want in Z690 as well. USB 3.2 Gen 2x2. Dual Thunderbolt 4 ports. You know, you have 3 M.2 slots and an M.2 add-in card, which we'll talk about as well. Wi-Fi 6E, 2.5 gig LAN, sweet, pretty awesome design as well. Let's talk about that card first. So it comes with this full-size expansion card. It's called the ROG Hyper M.2 card. Of course, you know, goes into a PCI Express slot, and then on it are 2 M.2 drives. Now, the first drive is actually PCI Express, or the first slot is PCI Express 5.0. This kind of future proofs the board. A lot of these Z690 boards, you won't find a PCI Express 5.0 M.2 slot. So this gives you that if, you know, because we don't have retail drives out yet, PCI Express 5.0 drives out yet. But this kind of gives you that future proof on the board, which I kind of like. And then this one's a Gen 4, you know, so you do have that, which is kind of, like I said, just a nice little future proof. And again, it does give you the ability to install up to 5 M.2 drives out of the box. Which is pretty cool. So if we look at the board itself, it's a beautiful board. I feel like every generation Asus just does something a little different as far as like their board design. But this is just matte black accents with some silver accents on there as well. Most of the board is covered with heat sinks as well as like dust covers. I mean, it's an excellent looking board. Real quick, to go back to the 3050 in the chat, old man asked, is the MSRP 250? Yeah, MSRP on the NVIDIA website, it says starting at 249. So yeah, 250. We'll see what all the aftermarket cards go
for. I think there was the EVGA was supposed to be right at 250.
Yeah, EVGA has done a really good job of keeping their cards kind of within that. And even their higher end aftermarket cards aren't like the 150. Yeah, they're not crazy overpriced, which we've seen some other companies go a little crazy on that front. So yeah, so the newest thing on Z690 motherboards is the socket. So we go from LGA 1200 to LGA 1700. Socket, I mean, it is, you're not going to put an older processor in here, obviously. And if you did have an older cooler, you do need to get an adapter. Almost all cooler companies, if you bought a CPU cooler within the past couple of years, they have offered an LGA 1700 bracket. So you wouldn't have an issue with an older Intel cooler that you did have. You have dual power delivery on this as well. Like, it's not mandatory, but if you are going to be doing overclocking, I would suggest connecting both of these. What else do we have on this board? So we have the flex key button, which is pretty standard on most of the new Asus boards. Basically, this is a reset button, but then you can reprogram it to do other things. So if you don't use your reset button on the board, you can make it go straight into the BIOS. You can make it turn off the RGB lighting on the board. Like, there's a lot of stuff you can do with that, which is really cool as well. And one of the new things on this board, you see this little button right here? This is the PCI Express release button, or I believe Asus is, what do they call it? They call it their Q latch, I believe. And yeah, you can kind of see it sticking up right here as well in the shot. So basically what this does is this releases your graphics card. So if you've ever installed a decent sized graphics card, you know, pressing that release button on the slot itself is very annoying. Actually, the last Asus motherboard that we reviewed, we couldn't even access it because the M.2 heatsink that was kind of would be right here was actually in the way, and you had to remove the heatsink to even access it. So this kind of solves that problem. It's super easy. You just press it in and it releases it.
Release both of them?
No,
just the top slot.
Just the top slot.
Okay. Yep.
And it's basically, there's just like a little piece of wire that releases it. That's kind of what it does. But yeah, it's a great addition, something we should have had on motherboards for a while. And
yeah, it's like, how many times have you used a screwdriver or something like besides your finger to get that clip undone on a graphics card, and just hoping that you don't slip off and, you know, remove some surface mounted device from your board and ruin it.
Yeah, we have in the chat. Am I freezing? No, you're not. Not that I see.
Old man just said I was.
I mean, you might be. We have Jim in the chat. Jim from Home Gadget Geeks. Good to see him here. And old man is saying that you are freezing. So, you know, Ryan's supposed to be a pro computer guy, and I don't know what he's doing. Hey. as far as other stuff on the board, we have two PCI Express 5.0 X16 slots. They are X16 and X8 electrical. For those wondering, the top two slots are metal reinforced. The bottom slot is not. And then we have heatsink. So we have a heatsink here and then heatsink here. And we can, of course, see our M.2 slots. Another addition to this motherboard, which saves time and aggravation, is that the M.2 slots have the little plastic latches on them. Basically, you install your drive and you just push over this latch instead of using those super tiny screws that you always end up losing, or if it falls off the table and you have carpet, good luck finding it.
Yeah, good luck finding that thing.
So this solves that problem. So it's good to see that as well. Yeah, so the slots right here, this top slot and this slot, they're PCI Express 4.0. This one that doesn't have the extra thermal adhesive, it's PCI Express 3.0. Something to keep in mind. On the rear here, of course, we have our IO shield, built-in IO shield. And then just some things to point out. We do have dual Thunderbolt 4 ports right here, as well as USB 3.2 Gen 1 Type-C. The Gen 2x2 is by header only. So if you have a case that supports it, you will get Gen 2x2, or you'll have to buy like a rear adapter for that internal header. But beyond that, pretty basic. But like I said, this board is beautiful. It's a very, very good looking board. Now, the RGB lighting, I think, was a little bit of a miss on this board. This is flagship line board. And the only lighting that you get is this, they call it their Polymo lighting, which basically is kind of like this. Would you say this is like 8-bit? Would you?
I mean, it has 8-bit sort kind of like, style, but.
Yeah,
is that the only thing you can show on it, or can you adjust each individual?
No. So all you can show is this hero design with the ASUS logo, and then this one that says ROG, and it will cycle between both of those. So it's like a little, it's kind of like an animation that goes between the two, yep. And then the lighting behind it, which is actually illuminating it, that's. You can change the color and do kind of like your normal RGB settings. And I think it's a miss because, like you said, maybe you want to design what this Polymo lighting says or does. They could have put a screen here, and there's no other RGB lighting on the board. So you don't get like any type of, you know, chipsets, like, a you know, the ASUS logo that's on the bottom of the board, like the bottom half of the board. I initially thought this would light up, but this doesn't light up. There's no.
Sure, you didn't get a broken one?
No, it doesn't light up. there's no RGB strip on the front of the board. You know what I mean? Like, I think they could have done a little bit better with the RGB lighting, but the Polymo lighting is cool, but it's just not, like I said, it's just not my favorite thing. And so it has this like mirror like finished thing on it. So even in this picture, which is taken in the dark, you can see the glare because it only shows really good if you don't, like, here you can even see the glare, mm-hmm. Because of the covering that's on it. So like I said, they could have done things a little bit better, but overall I think this is a great board. It has pretty much everything you're going to want for a Z690. It has a really good VRM and good VRM cooling. We didn't run into any issues when it came to you know, running the 12900K, or yeah, 12900K. and no VRM, heating issues, any of that stuff. It's going to be a great board. I do feel like 2.5 gig LAN is kind of like pretty much every Z690 board is going to have 2.5 gig LAN. So 10 gig LAN or even dual NICs would have been nice.
Yeah, I was surprised there wasn't dual NICs here, like even just a 1 and a 2.5.
Yeah, so that was a little, you know, but beyond that, I really like this board. It has a lot. It's going to be a future-proof board. Another interesting thing that I do want to point out is that Hyper-M.2 card, as I said, I'll go back to it. The Hyper-M.2 card only supports a single PCI Express 5.0 M.2 drive, which would go right here, which is weird because the second, and it, you can only install this in the second PCI Express slot as well, but that second PCI Express slot is PCI Express 5.0 X8. It's an X8 electrical slot, which means you could technically run two PCI Express 5.0 M.2 slots because the M.2 slots are X4. So I don't know why they didn't put two on this. It's a little weird. It could technically do it, but I'm not sure why that wasn't.
I mean, I doubt its cost, right?
I don't know. I'm not sure, but that's a little weird. And just like the DIM.2, or just like the settings on the previous board, you really have to go into the BIOS to switch this to enable it and do all that kind of stuff with, you know, yeah, it's just a little weird. So yeah, that's the only kind of weird thing about the board. But I think it's a good board. It is an expensive board. Prices are all over the place, anywhere from $650 to $700 for the board. So it's expensive. I mean, Alder Lake is an expensive platform as it is, but you are getting quite a lot with this board. Basically, every new piece of tech minus 10 gig LAN you're getting on this, right? It also, I didn't even say, like, we talked about it with our last ASUS motherboard, but it has the ASUS Hydra node on three of the fan headers too. So I didn't talk about that, but that basically allows you to use just a normal fan splitter and then control each fan individually, which is really cool. This has pump headers on it. This has water flow headers on it. A lot of ASUS specific features that you're going to get with this board as well. So that money is well spent, I would say, but you have to be using the certain things to make it worth it, obviously. So keep that in mind. Great motherboard. Of course, great motherboard to start our Z690 motherboard reviews. So definitely go ahead and check that one out. And then I took a look at a case as well. This is Cooler Master's new case. It is the Half 500. And I'm just going to kind of say it. It's the same case that they've had for a while.
I was going to say, this kind of looks familiar.
Yeah.
Kind of like the case I reviewed a few years ago.
Which one was that? That was the Master case
500? Yeah, it was part of their Master series. Yep.
So I like this case because it does what it's supposed to do. High airflow. So many cases have come out in the past couple years that have not been high airflow. This gives you two 200 millimeter fans in the front of this case. You can kind of see them right here. I mean, they're massive. They're ARGB fans, so you have all that as well. This has a controller for the ARGB fans, so you have the two fans there. You also have a kind of mid chassis fan right here that you can kind of angle up, and it's basically to kind of push air towards your graphics card, which is really nice as well. So you have that fan, and then you have finally a rear fan as well, which is an ARGB fan. Lots of fans, lots of airflow. Talking about airflow, they didn't even put a filter on the front of it. Like, there's no filter, it's just the mesh.
Just the mesh.
Yeah, so there's no filter. So that allows dust to get inside your case.
Yeah.
You know, but it doesn't hamper airflow. So it's a win, lose, win. I don't know how you want to call that, but that's kind of what it is. Now, I like this case because it is high airflow and it does cool your system. And in our testing, it did great with that. The problem I have with this case is that it's essentially internally the same case that you reviewed in 2018.
Yep.
The internal design looks literally the same as when Ryan reviewed the case. Same, pretty much everything except for this fan mounting, which wasn't there before.
Yeah, same cable cover there on the right above those drives.
Exact same cable cover, exact same plastic PSU shroud. Not a full cover PSU shroud as well. So, you know, you do have that tempered glass side panel that's you know, that's going to show that. I mean, you can see it all right there. It just, and we've seen case manufacturers reuse the same internal design, right?
Sure.
But this just feels incredibly dated. I mean, a plastic PSU shroud.
And I don't know about yours, but it doesn't feel like high end plastic either. Like with mine, I remember it was it just felt cheap.
Yeah. I do have to say the steel on this case feels quality, like heavy, which is good. But that's kind of like an issue to me. It's just weird. They did retool the side panel. So it has the sort of same side panel design that you see on Fractal Design cases where it kind of just pulls off. So you don't have any real like screws on the side panel, which is nice. That's sort of an upgrade. They also upgraded the top of the case. I believe on yours it only supported a 240 up top, but this supports a 360 up here. You know, as far as fans, or the two 200 millimeter fans can also fit up here, or 3140s and 3120s can fit up here. So you have lots of space for cooling. It's just this.
It's just a kind of a refresh of the case.
The case just feels old to me, and it's gonna be 149, which I think is very high for kind of what you're getting. And there's only room for four hard drives in this case. This is a big case. Like, it's, I mean, you can kind of see it behind me.
Above those drives that are down.
It's like right here. It's right here. And I mean, it's a big case. So it's like, I don't, you know.
There's a lot of space there that where, like, again, where Fractal does such a good job to put, you know, you have the option to put a ton of hard drives stacked there. Whereas with this up, you've just got this little tray at the bottom and then a cable management cover to go over it, and just this huge open area where they could have done something with this case where we've seen, you know, obviously the O11 from Lian Li and some of the other people, where they're putting those fans on the motherboard tray side, right, to get some extra airflow in there. They could have done something like that very easily in this case, I think.
It just feels like a data case. It does what it's supposed to do. That's the kind of thing that it's like, the performance of this case is great out of the box. Like you're getting a lot of airflow.
Yeah.
You're getting airflow on your GPU, which is typically the thing that's important. Overheating yeah. these days in cases. It does what it's supposed to do, but it's just a dated internal design. And to see, you know, we review cases all the time, and to see what other companies are doing, and then to see this, it was kind of disappointing. That's the only thing. I gave an 8 out of 10. It is 149. You know, that does put it below Fractal cases and some other stuff. But 149 is not the 100, you know, because when you reviewed this case, when you did it in 2008, yours was 100.
Yeah.
So it's a $50 premium. I get it. All the fans are ARGB, and there is a controller, you know, with the option to connect it to your motherboard as well. So, yeah, like I said, 8 out of 10. So check out the review. And again, if you're looking for a high airflow in that price range, this is a good case for that. So
cool.
So yeah, let's move on to Case Mod Friday. And we have another one of these futuristic style builds. This one is Project Capsule H74, which is done by Italian Extreme Modders, who do a lot of these. Like, this is kind of like their thing is this kind of I think this is the Antec Striker again, which a lot of people are using for this type of build. I love the colors on this, the white with the orange.
That's always a good combo.
Yeah, it goes together so well on this. Open air design with the water cooling. You have the res right here, which is really cool. That custom res, which I think is pretty awesome.
And like that orange plastic. You know, all those highlights, like that piece right there that are just added in there that,
yeah,
just add to the case.
Yeah, it's just a lot awesome. Of really, really cool stuff on this one. I love these builds. They're futuristic. Sometimes they kind of remind you of like a motorcycle.
Yep.
This one, not as much because it's not really designed to be that, but really cool. And like I said, building the res in there and all of that's really awesome. Bends too. They're just like, you know, I don't know. I like it. Pretty cool stuff. So definitely check this on
light up screen or emblem there that's kind of attached.
Yeah, that's like their logo and all that kind of stuff. So check this one out. You know, for sure.
That's what you need for your next build.
a little logo.
No,
the case like you that.
Yeah, do your
yeah, next build. I'm trying to figure out because I'm upgrading my main system. What kind of case I want. So, back to the half 500, old man said, can you change out the front fans for 120 or 140? Yes, you can. It supports 3 120s and 2 140, or let me go back to the review and I'll tell you.
It, up front 3 120s, 2 140s or 2 200s.
Yeah, 2 200. So, yeah, a lot of space up there. Well. And then 360 mil radiator in the front if you want to do that as well. And then old man says the build looks like the head of a Robotech. Yeah, I think it Capsule H74. It's from something. It's this is semi-themed, but I just don't know if it's like an anime or what it is. But it's, like I said, very cool stuff. I like it. Quite a lot. So go ahead and check that out. Also, reminder, we are doing our New Year's giveaway with Thermaltech is still going on. 3 awesome cases to win. The Tower 100 Black, which is this one right here, the small one. We reviewed this one. Great little mini ITX case if you want to show off your build. Then we have the AHT200. It's the pink version. This is like a futuristic case as well. We have the pink version there, and then we have the Divider 300 TG ARGB. Really interesting case, but basically splits the side panel between just a normal side panel and a tempered glass. I believe because it's the TG ARGB, it comes with these 3 ARGB fans in the front. So a lot of cool stuff. Super easy to enter. We do all of our giveaways through Gleam, and then you can enter once by signing up to our newsletter. And then after that, you have a bunch of different ways, like subscribing to our YouTube and to this podcast and other ways to get a bunch of entries in. So get your entries in. We have 4 days left on this one. So pretty excited to get you guys out some cases if you're looking to do a new build or even just upgrading, you know, the PC that you have now. So
very cool.
That brings us to news. And this is like a huge story. It's not as huge we would think it is, because we cover hardware, not like business related stuff. But this is a massive, we actually have two stories this week that are pretty massive for like the tech industry. So what's that, like last year, NVIDIA announced that they were going to buy ARM, and ARM makes a ton of processors. And of course, they're who is manufacturing the Apple chips, right? I believe. In any case, ARM's massive company. I believe the deal was for $40 billion. And I believe on the US side, it was all good. But on the EU side, there were some issues. And it seems like those issues were not resolved. And NVIDIA is going to pull out of the deal. NVIDIA could, because of their pulling out of the deal, they could suffer a loss of $1.25 billion.
Ouch.
Yeah, so...
I mean, they were going to pay $40 billion for it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a pretty big loss on their part.
Yeah, so that's a pretty big deal. Yeah, I mean, as far as like, you know, we weren't really
covering it necessarily, or I wouldn't expect anything major to change like with this right away anyhow.
Yeah. So pretty big deal. We'll see how, obviously, if you're following NVIDIA, how that affects their stock price and all that kind of stuff. Talking about NVIDIA and graphics cards, we have finally started to go a little bit on the downturn as far as pricing goes on graphics cards. If we look at this graph, which is from, I believe this graph's from 3D Center. You can see here's, you know, May of last year, just, you know, and then we went down, and then we started going back up again. And then we're on a downturn, which hopefully that's a good thing. Hopefully this doesn't go back up. But we, you know, we're still at 177% over MSRP on the NVIDIA side. And this is NVIDIA GeForce 30 series. And then on the AMD side, the RX 6000 series, we're still 167% over MSRP.
I'm glad this graph shows the Ethereum price, because I have a feeling it's pretty tied to crypto prices right now.
Mm-hmm.
You think so?
A decent amount of it, yeah. Because of, again, miners, especially, I mean, if you look at the price, I mean, you know, it is, as it went up, the price of cards
starting to go back up. Yeah,
because people see Ethereum going up or any crypto going up, and then they're like, well, we're gonna, okay, it's going up, so we're gonna build out a whole nother cluster of mining rigs or whatever. So that's a good thing. Hopefully this continues to go down with the launch of the RTX 3050, which I heard, we didn't test it, but I heard it's pretty abysmal in Ethereum mining. It is, we talked about this, you know, when it started, but this is, it's not designed for that as well, like with the LHR stuff. And, you know, so hopefully, you know, we see prices continue to go down as the year goes on. We'll obviously keep you guys updated with that, because of course we want you guys to get the best prices and not pay crazy prices for graphics cards, kind of what, you know, what's been going on for the past, 2 years now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, also, Intel is not happy that people are overclocking very low price Celeron G900s as well as their Core i3 12100s. It was discovered that you could overclock. These are non-K parts, obviously, not made for overclocking. But if you have a Z690 motherboard, you know, you can overclock these DeBauer overclocked the Celeron G900 to 5.338 gigahertz, jeez, which is a 57% overclock. And there was a bunch of stories about the Core i3-12100 being overclocked as well. We have his video in the article if you want to see it, and how he talks about overclocking. But yeah, so Intel put out a statement, which is a kind of funny statement. It says, Intel's 12th gen non-K processors were not designed for overclocking. Intel does not warranty the operation of these processors beyond their specifications. Altering clock frequency or voltage may damage or reduce the useful life of the processor and other system components and may reduce system stability and performance. Basically, they're putting out this statement because they don't want people buying these lower-end parts instead of higher-end parts that cost more money. Kind of funny.
But that's like, that's where overclocking came from, right? Is like, you buy the cheaper part, you overclock it, so you get the performance of the higher part.
Yeah.
Yes, of course, they don't want you doing it. They want to sell more higher-end parts, but...
Yeah. So it's kind of funny that they had to put out that statement. But yeah. Also talking about Intel, and this is a very big story. It's not super close to where I grew up, but I mean, it's in the area, and it's in Ohio. So Intel announced that they're going to build at least two fabs on a 1,000-acre site in New Albany, Ohio, which they say is going to be the largest silicon manufacturing location on the planet. Wow. Which is going to be great for the area. I said at least up to 3,000 jobs for that area, which is going to be great. We're seeing fabs come over here. It makes sense with all the issues that Intel processors had with security, and they want to bring the manufacturing of chips back to the United States. But like I said, it's also a great thing just for Ohio, I think. A lot of jobs. Midwest, if you've ever been through the Midwest, it's a lot of old like mill towns and
we got lots of open land.
Yeah, there's a lot of land. If you look at I don't have the picture in the article, but there is a picture of the site and there's nothing. Like there's literally nothing.
Yeah, it's a field.
Yeah. So
no, this I think is great.
It's gonna be great for the region. And I think it's this is kind of the render.
What was their time frame?
That's two to three years.
That's it. I mean that's
20 billion in construction.
Come online in 2025. Okay.
Yeah. And it's the largest single private sector investment in Ohio history. So it's a big deal for the region. Pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff.
That's very cool.
So Intel now has plants. They have the one in New York, which is decently sized. And then they have this one. There's one in Arizona. There's an Arizona plant as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, the more we can get over here, the better, in my opinion. I mean, Obviously we're seeing shortages.
Not even just it's a lot of supply chain stuff too. So it's like if there's issues with a supply chain, if the product is here in the United States, we don't have to worry about supply chain issues.
No, and that's what I was getting at. I was like, yes, I mean, there you've got production issues, but you've also got to get it all halfway across the, the globe and then distribute from there. So yeah, I mean, at least if they're here, like you've got more options than just, containers that are then going to get bottlenecked somewhere else.
Yeah.
So
sitting outside of a port somewhere.
Yep. I'm glad that bringing these online doesn't take that long either. Right. I mean, yeah, it's years from now, but
they did announce, I know that there was a $56 billion government in whatever to do that as well.
Stimulus or investment?
To do it, to get the manufacturing over here, because they know that basically, I mean, chips, that's what powers everything.
Run everything, yeah.
So that's what is causing car prices to be crazy right now. That's what's, everything. So to bring that over here and not have that supply chain issue solves a lot of problems. So it's good to see. And like I said, it's very good for Ohio. A lot of those towns in Ohio need jobs and they need industry. So it's good to see. EVGA announced their Z690 classified motherboard. And I'll see what you think about this one.
So, as long as that orange and yellow isn't like, I don't, classified's kind of corny too on there, but feature wise, I'm sure this thing's just awesome. Mm-hmm. Looks like it's got some beefed up audio capacitors there, I'm guessing, next to the PCI yes. Express slots. Yeah, no, it's looks like good VRM cooling. It's got the 90 degree connections for power, which we like and have been seeing more of.
It looks, you have your dual
your BIOS
there. Postcode display, power reset. I'm trying to look for the dip switches for the PCI Express. Maybe I don't know what that switch is right there, because that's only one.
Yeah,
I don't know. There's a lot of stuff on these boards. It's a very, very nice looking board. I'm always a fan of the classic. I'm always a fan because EVGA is not a big motherboard manufacturer as compared to, you know, Asus, well, they're only, Gigabyte, MSI, they're
only Intel, right? Yeah.
They have an AMD classified board. Remember we talked about it.
Is it out?
I believe so, yes. But they just do things a little differently. Like they were one of the first people to do the indent, and then ASRock kind of copied it, and the 90 degree things. They were one of the first ones to do all that kind of stuff, you know? And again, these boards are purely made for like overclocking and all that kind of stuff. So I really like this board. It's a good looking board. That's right.
They have the For the Win and the Dark X570.
Yeah.
Boards.
Yeah. So, I don't think it's like you can buy it yet. I was wondering what the price is. Definitely going to be up there for sure. But yeah, see, even this, but like this has two 2.5 gig NICs.
Yep.
Yeah. So Asus is slacking on that. But yeah, what else do we have? I think, we have one more hardware thing and then we're on to gaming news, because a lot of gaming news the past week or so. Last hardware story is that G-Skill overclocked their Trident Z5 RAM. This is their new DDR5 RAM, all the way to 8,888 megahertz, which is crazy. I love these overclocking stories. Of course, this was done with LN2 and all that kind of stuff. And we have the CPU validation in here. And there is a video on it if you guys want to check that out as well. It's linked in the article. Pretty awesome. It was done on the Apex board. It was done on the Z690 Apex motherboard. So crazy high speeds on this. And I think it's only going to go up from there. Once DDR5 really matures, we're going to see even higher records being set. But pretty cool to see. I'm going to try to get some of that Z5 RAM to review too. So
it looks good. I like it. The look at the new Trident Z stuff.
Yeah, so check that out if you're into overclocking. And now gaming news. And I didn't talk about it at the beginning of the podcast because Ryan was having issues. But we didn't do the podcast last week. And one of the biggest story last week in the world, in our world, is that Microsoft acquired Blizzard, or Activision Blizzard, which means
it's to acquire anyhow. Yeah.
Yeah. $95 per share, all cash transaction valued at $68.7 billion. Massive, massive sale. See, Shitty in the chat says, wow, Ryan had
that's issues. Shiny.
He said, I can't believe it, /S, which means sarcasm. Exactly. So now Microsoft would own, all of these, like Overwatch, Diablo, Call of Duty, World of Warcraft, Candy Crush, StarCraft, like they,
I mean, now they can lock Sony out of these franchises if they wanted to. I don't know that would make a whole lot of sense. Like,
yeah,
you don't want to just like, that's still a big market share, right, to pull your games away from. But that's pretty awesome that they've got those big, titles and library.
You would hope that, Microsoft had bought
Bethesda.
Yeah. So
I mean, you got the whole, that whole world, the, what is it? Not Half-Life. Oh my gosh. Like Fallout and a lot of those titles.
I mean, they're becoming a massive gaming.
It's almost a monopoly, right? Like,
I mean, who's,
that's
I mean,
two what, big publishers to buy.
Who's next?
What, EA?
That's what I'm saying. They're going to buy EA? Or, I mean, it is a massive deal. Obviously, it has a lot to do with, like you said, like doing exclusives and things like that for people to buy the hardware as well. We'll see how that kind of pans out. But massive deal. Massive, massive deal. Also in the gaming realm of things, talking about EA, EA announced with Lucasfilm that a new Star Wars game will be developed by Respawn Entertainment. Respawn, of course, is behind Apex, which we play Apex Legends. They also did Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, which I played for a while. It was such a good game. I really liked that game.
I remember that.
That makes me miss, like you said, playing games when you actually had time to play games.
I know.
So that's exciting. New Star Wars games. I was thinking, because I was like, oh, Respawn, like they could do like a Star Wars Battle Royale. Like that'd be kind of fun. That would be pretty cool, actually.
You think?
Well, if you think about it, like we had Star Wars Battlefront was a lot of fun. Like those big.
I never played it, but it always looked fun.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, Shinny said Fallen Order 2, baby. And then Esoteric JC. Sorry if I'm saying that wrong.
I think it's supposed to be Esoteric.
Yeah, Elder Scrolls. That's
was another one I couldn't think of.
So, and then he said he was happy Microsoft bought Activision only for the fact that he bought Activision stock because it dropped hard. So that's, like I said, more Star Wars games. I'm a fan. Not sure, like Shinny said, if they're going to do Fallen Order 2 or it's going to be a whole different game. Hey, it could be a Battle Royale game. I don't know. Who knows? We'll see. I did like Fallen Order. I think Star Wars games, if they're not strictly like a Battlefront or a Battle Royale, that they should have a really good story. And I did think that Fallen Order did have a good story behind it. Like you kind of... It's one of those games where like you played and you felt like it took you somewhere else. It wasn't like you were just playing the game, if that makes sense. So yeah. I kind of like that about the game. Crisis 4 is in development. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I guess we got a new benchmark coming out. But
yeah.
I didn't play any of the Crisis titles either.
Like even the original?
No, I didn't.
Oh wow. Who are you?
I know. Thought I was a gamer.
Yeah.
No, it'll be cool.
And Esoteric JC, he said, if you forgot, Microsoft bought Discord too. So they're owning the whole gaming space.
I forgot about that, yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Well, or did they? They ended their talks. No.
Did they?
They were going to, and then, yeah. Back in April, I was just looking that up to make sure, and it said that they halted their talks.
Oh yeah, because I remember we covered that. But
yes,
So Crytek, of course, the company behind Crysis, they confirmed that Crysis 4 is in development. They put out a press release, which we have on the website, as well as a YouTube video that really doesn't. I can like play it here if you guys can kind of see it.
Does it really show anything?
Oh, I can't full screen because you guys.
It was like showing it.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, it doesn't really show much. I kind of screen capped that little section right there. That's like literally a second that shows this. I thought that was kind of interesting. But beyond that, it doesn't show much. It just says, you know, Crysis 4. That's the working title. Not a whole lot as far as what the game would be. Being a Crysis game, we do expect it to be very powerful type of game, a game that you do want to run benchmarks on. Of course, we all know the saying, does it run Crysis? That's where that came from, because it was such a high performance game, the original when it came out. So
Maybe it'll support DLSS and
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's pretty exciting. If you are a Crysis fan, or like I said, you want something that's really going to push your hardware
and will look good too.
Yeah, will look really good. So obviously just being announced that it's being worked on. So we got probably years of development, at least a year, if not more than that. And then our final piece of gaming news, which is pretty crazy, is that Steam broke its concurrent user record again. It broke it with 29,201,174 users on the service at once, getting very close to the 30 million concurrent user mark.
When was this? What date did they say when it was?
Like, I forget the actual date, but it was in January. It was pretty recently. Yeah, like within the past week. And obviously, the big games that are kind of pushing this, Counter-Strike GO and Dota 2, those have the most users, with 900K and 787K within that past 24 hours when this was logged. Also, something that might be pushing these numbers up, because they're continually going up. Mm-hmm. They're not going down. And typically, so we had the holiday season that usually brings the Steam user base up because people are off school or off work, or they just want to be away from their relatives, so they're playing games. That usually brings, of course, the user, peak users up, but that usually drops off after the new year, but it hasn't dropped off like it should.
Typically does, yeah.
PUBG went free to play recently. That has a lot to do with it either. So a lot of people who, was PUBG like $30?
Yeah, it wasn't like a full price game, but yeah.
But like for people who never played it and want to check it out, now they can. So free to play now. So that has a lot to do with it as well. So yeah, pretty cool. I'm excited to when we're going to hit 30 million on the service at once, which would be really cool. So yeah. And SO Tear JC said he's been a Steam user since November 3rd, 2003. I used to have, like back in the day, I used to have like a very, I think I had a 4-digit Steam ID, and I'm pretty sure I sold it or something. I don't remember.
What?
Yeah, you could sell them, like you could, you know, because it's such a low Steam ID, but it was a 4-digit Steam ID I used to have.
Nice.
So Roy in the chat said, he goes, PC gaming is a dying breed. If the GPU prices don't go down in the next few years, people will be jumping ship to console gaming, which is really sad. Yeah, I think.
I don't know.
I wouldn't PC say that.
PC gaming's been dying for the last 20 years.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that. I would say that you have a point. Building a PC is so hard these days. I think
it's terrible.
Just like old man who's always in our chat and he's always here on the for the live stream, he bought pre-built, which there's a lot of pre-builts right now that are decently priced with 3060s in them. Mm-hmm. But he bought his pre-built with a 2080, and it served him well. And I think that will get a lot of people from going to console, because they want to game on a PC, but they can't build one, they can't find the parts, or even parents are like, oh, I it's just easy. Like, I want to, if I'm a parent of a kid who wants to PC game, like I'm either buying a laptop, a gaming laptop, or I'm buying a pre-built that has every, like I just click one button and I buy it. I don't have to configure anything. It just makes it easier. I don't think we'll see PC gaming going away. I think it has grown the past couple of years too. So that is the news for the week. I guess it's time to talk about what we have coming up next week. And this is a case that's been sitting here for like a month and I haven't opened it, and I'm really excited to open it. I'll be taking a look at this case this upcoming week. This is the Height Revolt 3 Mini ITX case. Height is a new company. We talked about some of their stuff they launched at, or they announced at CES, some really cool stuff there as well. Just a small little ITX case, as you can see, kind of the same design as the NZXT H1. Obviously, I haven't even opened this yet because I meant to open it today, but I don't know how the internal design is different, how they address some of the cooling issues that the NZXT H1 had as well. So we'll see that. And it has the handle on top, which I'm super pumped about as well. So I'll be taking a look at that. Also, taking a look at another air cooler. This is the Silverstone Hydrogon. Yeah. D120 ARGB, dual fan, dual tower cooler, with of course ARGB lighting. Sweet. It looks like 6 heat pipes on this. So I'll be excited to test this one out for you guys as well. So definitely, stay tuned for that. End of the podcast. We talk about, any tech. Anybody want to throw any questions in the chat? And anything like that, Ryan, have you done anything tech related?
I don't think so. No.
Nothing.
Not that I can think of. No. Been kind of slacking on that. I mean, I bought that Commodore 64 and I still haven't done anything with it. It's just sitting here, but one of these days. I got some time off coming up, so maybe
we'll... I finally made a tech... Well, I guess it's a tech purchase that I've been wanting to do. Uh-huh. And I still got kind of screwed on the price because over like the holidays, it was down to 119, which I was like, oh, I should buy it. It was like sitting in my Amazon save for later, and then I didn't buy it. And then it went up back up to 150, and then it was at 134. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to buy it. So I've been needing a light for my living room. And I was like, I gotta get like a smart light. You know me, like I have to have a smart light. And like, yeah, it's kind of cool if it changes colors. Like I don't just want the normal light. And, Govee has their Lyra, which it's like this kind of light bar basically. And I literally got it today. I hooked it up. I do like it. I think I haven't, because it was light when we started the podcast and now it's dark. So yeah. I don't know how it's going to look in the dark, but I needed something to light up that room. But super easy to set up and put together. I always say that Govee is a great alternative to NZXT and not NZXT.
Philips Hue.
Why did I say NZXT? Well, I guess NZXT does have a Hue product, but in any case. So Philips Hue is very expensive. Govee is about half the price on most products, and their app is great. Everything can be, it works with all your smart assistants and all that kind of stuff. So, I think, like I said, it's pretty cool. Like, I haven't really had a whole lot of time to test it, but it's like the first piece of tech that I've bought in a while, I think.
You showed me a picture of it in the corner, and it looked good. And like I said, I want to see what it looks like in the once it's dark. I think it looked good.
Yeah. So everybody in the chat you did nothing tech related. That's no fun. Everybody in the chat's talking about graphics cards and stuff. Roy said consumers should not be forced to buy a pre-built just for a lower price on a GPU. I 100% agree. I think that especially if you're a first time builder, like building your first PC is such so fun, and it's a learning experience, and it's something I'm sure Ryan that you'll do with your kids. It's like, if you're doing it with your kids, it's a bonding thing and you learn so much. It's just a lot of fun. And just like anything you get, if you build it yourself, you appreciate it so much more. It's not just like a box, you know? It kind of sucks. It's just that all the companies that are doing pre-builds, they have the inventory, the GPUs, you know, that they have the GPUs in, and that's what it kind of sucks about it. You know, and then Old Man says new cards are underwhelming at their price point also. Yeah, I think I saw this meme on Reddit that was like, Nvidia RTX 30 MSRPs are like a marketing ploy. Like, you know, like the change my mind.
Meme. Steven Crowder.
Yeah. We're getting less for our money right now. That has a lot to do with chip shortage, supply chain issues. And just like, again, the company's kind of figuring out that they can charge.
People are going to pay it.
So. Yeah, people are going to pay it. So that kind of sucks. So we are going to wrap things up here. If you guys want to continue to talk tech and everything, jump over to our Twitch. Ryan will have the stream up, hopefully, if he doesn't have computer issues still. Twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Go on over there. We're going to be playing some Apex Legends again, hopefully, if Ryan doesn't have issues. I guess I could stream, although I haven't opened OBS in a very long time, so that'd be kind of fun to set up. But in any case, we are going to be over there again, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Thanks everybody for coming out. Of course, Old Man in the chat, Roy Marr in the chat, Esoter JC, hopefully I'm saying that right, Shinny, if you're still in the chat, thanks everybody for coming out, and we will see everybody next week, same time, same place.